One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Guys, the audio for my special Lefty Son is out. I've released it as an album. It is available on audio everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, you name it. It's out there. Go check it out and support my special on YouTube. Thank you. I'm very excited to announce that we have partnered with Spotify. It changes absolutely nothing for you. The added benefit, though, is that you now get video on Spotify. You're going to get the Honeydew audio and video on Spotify. We're very excited to partner with Spotify. It changes absolutely nothing for you. You're not having to pay for anything or anything. Nothing's behind a paywall. None of that. You're just now able to get audio and video on Spotify. So go subscribe to The Honeydew on Spotify today.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody that supports this show, however you support this show. If you're listening, if you're watching, whether you're new here or whether you've been here or whether you go back to the feast, thank you for you supporting me. I love my job, and I probably just got demonetized for saying that right there, but I love my job, and I love it because of you guys. And look, if you have to have more, I'm telling you, you have to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and it's this version with y'all, and y'all have the wildest stories anyone's ever heard. They don't stop hitting us. They don't stop coming. It's $5 a month. That's it. There's no tiers, none of that stuff. $5. You get the entire library, not just a month, everything, hundreds of episodes for $5 a month. All right. And if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, go listen to my old podcast, The Crab Feast. That library, that podcast has been dead almost 5-6 years, and it's going to do over 1 million downloads. Feaster Nation is still strong. It's an audio podcast from back in the day, and it's got everyone you love in podcasting. Segura, Kreischer, Pajitsky, Bill Burr, everybody. They're all there with different stories, so go check it out. And come see me on tour. If I'm in your town, when you're around, come out, check me out. The Live and Alive tour. I'll be in La Jolla, California, October 20th through the 22nd. I'll be in Salt Lake City the 27th and 28th of October, Batavia, Illinois, November 10th and 11th, and then closing out the year December 8th and 9th in San Francisco, California. That's it. That's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. I always say we highlight the lowlights, and I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers, and I'm very excited to have this guest on today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jason Mewes. Welcome to The Honeydew.
Yay, thank you.
You clapped yourself in, bro. I know, right? Yeah. You look good in lavender, man. You do.
Thank
you're
you.
You're a dad. You're looking good, bro.
Look,
I told you. I met you outside. I saw you. Huge fan. Stoked that you're doing this. But before we get into your story, please plug, promote everything and anything you would like.
Kevin Smith and I are doing a cruise, which I'm excited. I've never done a cruise before. I've never been on a cruise, that is.
Me either.
And I've been a little I never gone because I've been a little worried about getting out there, but I think it'll be fun. It's going to be February 23rd to the 26th. I want to make sure I don't mess this up. Of next year, and it will be from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas. So February 23rd to 26th, and we're going to do our podcast. The one we don't do it anymore, but Kevin and I used to do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. We're going to have podcast Hollywood Babylon, Fat Man Beyond, Edumacation. There's going to be stand-up comedy tournaments. There's gonna be live music. Soul Asylum's gonna be there. Soul
Asylum, nice,
you know,
yeah.
Clerk soundtrack. So there's gonna be live music, some poker tournaments with everyone on board. stand-up comedy. I'm excited. I think it'll be fun because I don't drink and I'm sober and stuff. And I can't imagine going on a cruise where everyone's partying and doing stuff. I'm not saying there people won't be drinking a little bit, but I feel like there's going to be so many things going on. I'll be able to keep busy and do fun things. And
are you worried about that?
No,
have you been
in
an environment like that since? I mean, you're in a fucking crack house on the water, basically.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Like, well, that's a drug den floating.
Well, the good news is, though, I feel like, you know, my main drug is either, you know, let's say crack and heroin, opiates. And I feel like people don't really share that. It's not like they're on the boat smoking crack. You know, exactly. It's mainly weed.
Take half my,
exactly. Never. Again, I remember I used to be dope sick and I'm like, I wish someone would share with me. But I mean, constantly people are like, you want to smoke some weed? You want to drink? But again, and I like those, but I don't crave them. And I don't like, it's not hard to be like, you know, I can't get there. Cause if I start that, then I'm going to get to the other.
Now, let me ask you this, because if you're an addict, I'm just curious how that crosses, because we're going to get into this.
Yeah.
But gambling, you said, was going to be on the boat. Do you have...
No.
Because I'm not an addict when it comes to gambling. I don't go
neither.
Online. But when I go to Vegas, my ego is like, we can win. We can do it. I'm like, no, we can't. But I'll go way more than I should if I'm there.
I've been good.
If I'm there.
I've been, you know, I have this thing where it's like, don't get me wrong. There's been a few times where I feel like I'll keep buying in, or if I'm playing blackjack, I'll buy in. But I feel like 300 is usually my limit. And I think that I've gotten the most I've lost is maybe 1,000.
I mean,
and then I like hit it. I was like, that's it. I can't lose more. So, and it bugs me enough that I can stop, like, again. So I'm not worried about that. And I don't, you know, and on the boat, we're going to be doing more of a tournament. I think we're going to be doing like prizes and stuff. So I feel like tournaments are definitely more fun. You could buy in a couple times. I'm trying to get, see if it's possible and get together a gaming tournament. So I've been, the one other thing I want to plug is
do
my Twitch. Twitch.tv/JMuse. So I've been streaming on Twitch for 3 years. I play games, I unbox things, and it's live. And anyway, twitch.tv/JMuse. But I'm hoping to like try to get a gaming tournament on the boat. A bunch of people from my stream. I don't have a whole lot, but I have a couple hundred people each time I sign on that watch live and stuff. And a bunch of them are coming on the cruise. So I'm hoping to get that together. But I don't know. It'll be fun. So, but yeah, the cruise is February 23rd, 26th, and you could, it'll be fun. So come, I think it'll be great. Jason Lee, it will be there. Ethan Suplee, Dante and Randall, which is Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson from Clerks, and Clerks 2 and Clerks 3, whatever. But yeah, it's going to be a blast. So it'll be fun.
Well, let's talk about your life a little and how you got here clean and sober and everything, because it starts in Jersey. I know you're a Jersey guy. Are you 50 now too?
49.
You're about to be 50. You have an 8-year-old girl.
Yep.
And I don't know why I thought it was a 7-year-old, but you just said you have a 7-month-old when we were talking.
Yeah. So
you're about to be 50 and you have a kid that's under one.
A baby. Yeah.
A baby.
You know,
baby.
It's tough. And again, it's like, and it's funny because I feel like, you know, it'll be easier. You know, everyone says it'll be easier, but I feel like there was such a gap and I got so into the, you know, it's like after the baby years and like, following them around, making sure they're not putting stuff in their mouth and all the crazy, scary things. I'm not saying there ain't things I worry about with my 8-year-old, as you know, but I feel like there's a routine. It's like I wake up, get her ready for school. She eats breakfast, brush her teeth, drop her off at school. I know I have. And then she has activities usually after. So like I drop her off at like almost 9 o'clock in the morning. And I know that I have to like 3 or 4 to do whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, now I got to rush home. Hey, babe, do you need help? She'll be like, yeah, I need to do this, this, and this. So you're going to watch the baby now. And, you know, I'm going to take him for a walk. Sometimes he's fussy, he's teething. And it's, it's been interesting. And I'm a little worn out some days. It's funny because it's like the double-edged sword. I also do Musing Stories, which is my stand-up. So I've been touring with my stand-up comedy.
Okay.
I just came back from Portland at the Helium Comedy Club. But, like, I hate leaving the kids because I miss them. But then at the same time, like, I swear I slept 12 hours each day, man. It's like
people. Kirsten goes with me. That's what I tell her. Yeah. I go on the road. People are like, I'm like, I just go get sleep.
Yes.
I just sleep.
I know. And I felt bad.
I don't really, no offense. I don't I mean, your city's cool, but I don't really give a fuck about your museum right now. I'm sleeping.
You got to eat this food. Yeah. You got to eat this. I don't. And then I feel bad because there's always like people that I'm friends with from other towns. So they came to my show and I'm excited they're there. And I say hi to them for 10, 15 minutes. They're like, hey, you want to go do something? I'm like, look, I'm not being rude. I really want to spend time with you and hang out, but I got to go sleep, man.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, especially because I've noticed too, it's like I'll wake up and go out and do a couple things, maybe get some lunch. And then if I don't come home and nap, for some reason, like right before the show, I feel like all of a sudden 6 p.m. if my show's at 7:30, I'm like, I'm so tired. So now I've learned like, even if I go do stuff, I'm going back to nap. I'm going to go lay down at 1, nap till 4 or 5. And it's like taking naps since. So it's interesting.
You're fucking speaking to my heart. That's right? Me. You get in late, I sleep. I'm like, God, it's 12. I take my time getting up, go out, get a little bite to eat. Try to take a nap or at least hit the gym if I can. And then, yes, try to get in the zone. Yeah,
it's not the same as back in the day when I'm like, yeah, I'll meet you here and we'll stay out till 2. And then, oh, you want to go to this place? And, you know, it's.
So can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah,
you
do
not have to answer this. Is your new baby, was it intentional? Or were you just, was it an accident?
100%.
Okay, so you wanted to do this.
Yeah, thank goodness both of them were. Well, not thank goodness, but I feel like we were just a little more prepared. Both of them were planned. When I hit 40 almost, it was almost my 40th birthday or what have you. My wife is 13 years younger than me. And she wasn't ready up till right around my 40th birthday. I'm like, listen, I'm 40 now. Like, if we're going to have a kid, can we have a kid and stuff? And she was like, oh. And then she's like, all right, I'm ready. Thank goodness. We were like, all right, let's start trying. I'm ovulating. 2 months into it, 3 months, we were pregnant. And that was our first one. And then, you know, 7 years or whatever it is later, she's like, I'm hitting 35, which I didn't know until we started trying with this new one. They're like, she's like, I'm going to be geriatric to have a baby. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? You're 35. Like,
I just learned this too on here. I'm like, that's an ice cold 35 to call it geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because we had one and I don't remember them saying, maybe I just don't remember it, but I don't remember them using that term. I feel like we were not an elderly or advanced or something like that. Yeah. I feel like I would have been like geriatric because my daughter's mother was 40 when she was born, 39 when she got pregnant. Okay. I was 41.
Yeah.
And we're well over into a geriatric pregnancy.
And it's not, 35 was the number. And I was like, that's so interesting. But she knew. And she's like, I think if we're going to do it, we should do it now. And I was like, are you sure? Like, I'm going to be getting 49 and stuff. And she was like, yeah, like I really want one and stuff. I was like, all right, let's do it. And, you know, this one was a little bit longer. Like she even got worried at one point. It was like 5 months in, 6 months. We still weren't there yet. And then, you know, we started doing some funny little things she read on the internet. Like I hold her by her ankles upside down, trying to shake change from her pockets, trying to let gravity take effect and stuff. But yeah, after about 6 months. So yeah, both were planned. And it's funny though, she was just saying yesterday, which she might get mad. My wife's funny because she thinks I'm funny, but not everything I do is funny. But hopefully she don't get mad at me saying this, but like 2 nights ago, we made love and, you know, she's still breastfeeding. But the doc said, look, man, you're at the months where like it could happen. Even though you haven't had your period menstrual cycle, you can get pregnant. And so we've been being careful about that. But last night I wasn't, or the night before, I wasn't careful. And she's like, do you want to have a third baby? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, but don't stress about it. I was like, I don't think my swimmers are that strong, you know, right now. And so who knows?
They're strong enough. You know, you're just 50 and you're having a baby, basically.
And you never know. But I'm just saying, like, I tell her, I'm like, I don't think I'd hate it. Again, I love my kids and it's such a beautiful thing, but it would be a lot. But I'm like, we're trying not to have a third. But yeah, she was like, can you imagine having a third? Sometimes I'm on the plane, man. I'll see a husband and wife come on with like 4 or 5 kids. And I'm just like, how? How do they, you know? And they're all like, you know, 3, 5, 8. Like they're all close. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it's
like, all these people actually loved each other and put some thought and time behind it's family plan.
So it is. It's a great thing. And again, I'm a little tired, but it is again, having a boy and a girl's, it's been awesome. So,
well, the childhood you're giving your kids is already way different than yours. So let's talk about that. You're from Jersey. And you never knew your biological father?
Yeah, no. So I have a brother and sister.
From him as well?
No. So we all have different fathers.
Okay.
And me and my sister never met our, well, sorry, all three of us really never met our fathers. But my brother, he's the oldest. He's 8 years older than me. My sister's 4 years older than me. But my brother got to meet his dad once. So my mom was a dope fiend. She sold drugs. She used drugs. She wound up dying from AIDS.
How old was she?
She was 53. 53, yeah. So
how old were you when that happened?
Oh, I forget. I was just looking at something the other day. She would have been 70 something. So it was like 20 years ago, 20 something years ago. I was in my 25, I think.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I know it was right after Jam Bob Strikes Back, which was 2001.
Okay.
Because I remember we came back from shooting the movie. And I took care of her for a little bit and she passed away. And then I went like on a spa. I was sober.
So you did get to see her?
Yeah, I did get to come home, take care of her for a little bit. And then she passed. And then like I went on a real bender then. And that's sort of when the first time I got sober-ish for like 4 years.
Your mom has three children, three different men.
Yes.
And the only one that even gave a shit for 1 second was your oldest brother's dad.
Yeah.
But did you ever in your life, have you ever met your biological? Do you even know who he is?
No, I don't. And the bummer is,
do
is
you
like,
want to know?
I don't necessarily would want to know him, like spend time with him, but I'd love to see a picture of him. My main thing is I'd love to see a picture because I'm so curious. Plus he has, and again, if my mom told me the truth, cause again, I would ask questions every once in a while and I wasn't with her. She would get high and then she would get sober and I'd spend some time with her. Then she'd relapse and I'd go live with my grandma. And then she'd get better, so on and so forth. So when I was younger, I would start asking questions. And I remember she would tell me, like, for a minute, I thought his last name was Stanka. But I don't think it was because we researched and did all this stuff. I don't believe so. But anyway, she had told me the reason they didn't stay together is because he was married and had three kids. So if she's telling the truth, I have three sisters out there as well.
Okay,
like three.
So he's supposedly cheating on his wife with your mom.
Finds out
so
she's pregnant.
So if that's the case, then you've got five total siblings. Three from this. And then the brother and the sister that you share your mom with.
Yeah. So that's another reason it would be awesome to be able to find him. What he looks like, but it would also be cool to find out if he really does. Well, sorry, if I really have half sisters.
Have you done a 23andMe or any of that stuff?
Yeah, I've done 23andMe.
Not tying together?
No. So I've done the 23andMe and I haven't found anything. Found some cousins, but always from my mom in that side. But someone was telling me recently that like you have to try. There's another one, I guess it's a little bit older. It's like the 23andMe. It's another company.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my best friends growing up, he said the other day we call each other every year on our birthday. We've known each other since we were five. So even though he lives in Texas, I don't see him. We call each other every year and he has a family and you lose touch. But we call each other every year. And last year when I called him on his birthday, he goes, yeah. I go, what are you doing for your birthday? He goes, I'm going out with my sister. I'm like, you have two brothers. What do you mean your sister? He's like, oh my God, I must not have told you. I found a sister. My dad had, when my dad and mom got divorced, he was with another woman and had a kid and it's a girl and I have a sister. So anyway, and he was telling me this site, he found her on this site. And he was just saying it's something like, I forget what, ancestral.com.
Oh yeah, ancestry.com. Yeah.
And he said that one's a little bit more used because it was around longer. And he told me I should sign up for that because more people use that. And I have because I'm already on 23andMe, maybe I could find it. But anyway, yeah, so it would be interesting.
You should also try to figure it out. Just honest to God, I say this all the time to all these people. Even if you don't ever want to speak to him, do you know if he's even alive?
I don't.
You have no idea.
No.
Health, genetics.
Yeah.
Because that shit you're passing on to your kids too. And you know what I mean?
100%.
Like, it's a lot of that shit. Like, any kind of diseases he might have had or any of that stuff. If you can find out, it's just a leg up on
heart disease, diabetes,
any cancer,
any of it.
You know,
I agree.
Especially colon cancer, testicular cancer, prostate, all that shit.
Well, it's funny because I remember when I started growing long hair, I was like, man, I hope I don't lose my hair. And that was one of the reasons I'm like, I wish I could see a picture, see if my dad still has his hair, you know. But
What is it like being you're a child with no dad and your mom's a junkie and I'm sure she's out there hustling to do what she's got to do to get her fix and to raise you. So what's that like? Like, what are some of her hustles?
It's so weird because I forget many things growing up, but one thing I remember, I swear, is the clearest day. We lived in Highlands, and I remember one night waking up in the middle of the night, coming out in the living room, and my mom had like three people in the living room, and there was all these tube TVs around our...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Living room. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, what's going on? She said, go back to bed, go back to bed. And then I, like, of course, went in my room, but I was listening. They went to hotels and signed up in different names. And it was way back with the tube, not even flat screen. Exactly. And so they would sign in different names and rip the TVs off the wall to sell them.
Dude, yeah, for real? Yeah, they even steal the TVs from hotels and sell them?
Yeah, it's crazy. And again, because it was
a good hustle.
And it's still that age where it was like, you know, first it was like the big box TVs on the floor, like that look like wooden cabinets. Mm. So again, they were still like, you get a nice TV, tube TV with the VHS, VCR inside, you know, you could probably get a couple bucks. So there was that. She also used to make me drive around, pull up to mailboxes.
Are you old enough to drive at the time?
No, I'm a kid. I'm probably 11, 12
years old. But you're driving?
No, my mom's driving.
All right.
So my mom's driving. She's making me lean in, take people's mail.
What do you like credit cards and shit like that? So she's fishing?
That was the big one. That birthday cards with cash in it. Tell me, 11-year-old kid.
I didn't even think of that back then. And it was no digital fucking email cards.
There was none of that. Apple
what was
Pay
your
or
best
nothing.
Day? What was your best day? Do you remember a day?
She would even get, here's the horrible thing. She would even get people's like license plates, you know. Imagine you're waiting for your new license plate. But we would go to the duck pond. There's a duck pond in our neighborhood. And we'd go and she would sit there and go through the mail and just throw like, you know, plates in the duck pond or like throw, there's a big garbage can. She would burn the paper in the mail. But I feel like for her was credit cards, some cash. I remember one time getting like $100. She would get $100 from me. And if it was in throw me a couple bucks. I remember she bought my one Christmas present. It was a Christmas present that I really wanted a bike. I didn't have a bicycle. All my buddies had bikes. I really wanted this Sigma. I remember clear as day. And it had like the covered wheels, like that you couldn't see the spokes because there was discs.
Yeah.
And for Christmas, my mom got a credit card and like used the credit card to buy me this bike. And the only reason why I know, because I remember hearing my grandma talk to my aunt. Because when I wasn't living with my mom, I lived with my grandma for a while. Then my mom got better and I lived with her and then so on and so on. So that, and then another thing that I'll never forget is my mom used to bring me and my sister to the grocery store and she would steal cartons of cigarettes from the carton thing. That and meat.
That's back before they locked them up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she would come out, she'd like go in the back and have me and my sister wearing big, big fluffy jackets. And she'd be like, stick this meat down your pants. Take this carton. And she'd make my sister put like carton of cigarettes, you know, in front of her pants and stuff. Weird shit like that. But those are the three main hustles that she like would involve us that I remember. It was, you know, and again, it's one of those things when I was younger, it's like I hated doing it. But at the same time, it was this weird thing where it's like, I didn't want to disappoint my mom because I didn't see her as much and wanted to spend time with her. I never wanted her to leave, you know.
But that's all you have.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you have no dad.
Yeah.
That's it.
And again, and I love my grandma and she took care of me a bunch, but I really didn't want my mom to leave. So I'd do it. But the only time that ever annoyed me was because I'd be like, but I want to go play with my friends. I'm supposed to go, you know, to the park with so-and-so. And one of the, what happened eventually, well, finally I had my mom like go away before she came home and was sick. I was 12. I remember about to ride my bike to my buddy's house. She goes, come here. She goes, take this envelope. It's a card, a gift card for my friend. And I knew the guy, I don't want to say his name, but it was my brother's friend. So I knew him. She goes, so-and-so is down at the park. Give this to him and he owes me money. So just get the money he owes me. But this is a
and
card.
And how old are you doing this,
12 Aaron? Years old.
Okay. So you bike riding down
and
there
I
or whatever?
I'm going to my buddies. I want to go. We're going somewhere and stuff. He's waiting on me. No, no, go do this. So I'm like, all right. So I ride my bike down, give it to him. He gives me, he's like, oh, this is my cousin, you know, Johnny, whatever. This is my cousin, Johnny. I was like, hey, what's up, man? And I was like, here it is. My mom says you owe money and he gives me money. So I ride the bike back, give her the money. 2 months later, my brother picks me up from my buddy's house again. Since we got to take a ride and then we take a ride and she says, listen, do you remember going to the beach and meeting a so-and-so? I was like, yeah, I remember that. She goes, that envelope was filled with heroin and you sold drugs to him and an undercover cop. The cousin Johnny was an undercover cop. So you like, they want to press charges for you selling drugs. I was like, no way. I was like, I didn't know and stuff. So I remember my mom like found out, disappeared. We didn't hear from her for about 6 months. And then finally she calls to check in. They say, we're like, my grandma's like, look, they're going to charge him with this 12 years old. If you don't turn yourself in.
They really were going to try?
They said they were going to. They put it in the newspaper and everything.
Damn.
Which was a real bummer.
But they can't put your name in there though, because you're a minor, right?
No, no. Yes. But everyone's a small
they
town.
They knew who the hell you
mile
were.
Mile long.
In. You know but what the mean? Guy so, you initially gave it to, not the cousin, was he also a cop or was he working with the cops?
He was working with the cops because he got busted.
Got it.
And he was even a really good friend of my older brother.
Oh, really?
So like my mom knew him. I knew him. Again, another thing I never mentioned was my brother was never. So me and my sister were sort of dragged all over my grandma, my aunt, my mom when she'd get better. But my brother's the oldest. My mom was like 17 when she had him and she went to jail right after she had him like a month later. So my aunt took him in and took care of him from a month old to 6 months old. And then when my mom got out, she knew she couldn't take care of him. So my aunt adopted him. So my brother was always around because he was with a family member, but he was raised by the same woman his whole life.
So your mom's been addicted for a long time, since her high school days or before then. If she's already using it, she's getting arrested at 17.
Yeah, she was getting in trouble
then.
So, yeah.
And what's your relationship like with her? I mean, when do you ever get a time where you're like, all right, here's 2 years I got to live with her? Or was it always 6 month spurts or three? You know what I mean?
You know,
did you ever have any consistency with her?
Well, I did only after she got, after she got out of jail. That's a good question. And when I was younger, I don't know how long the stints were because I was like,
you're a kid. It's blinks of an eye.
I never thought of that. Like I'm trying. It definitely would maybe be.
But you don't remember a time where like 10th grade to 12th grade, mom was clean and we were good. Nothing like that.
No.
It was always chaotic.
Yeah. Cause I remember like third grade, I remember we moved to this town and we were going to this different school. So I was with her for about a year. I would say at the most, it was a year and a half, 2 years. And then back with grandma.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I was wondering if even though you're moving around this area, it's a smaller area, you're always maintaining the same school with the same friends or are you having to meet new people a lot?
No, same school for the most part, except for 1 year in third grade, I went to a different school in this town called Kingsburg. So I went there for 1 year, but for the most part, it was all Highlands.
So your only consistency really was your educational system and those people you went to school with.
Yeah. My friends and my grandma. Because again, I guess I spent most of my time with my grandma or my aunt. And then even at one point, this family that lived in Highlands as well. So, so that was it growing up. Then I moved out at 17. And then when my mom got sick and got out of jail.
What was she in jail for that time?
So that selling? Was, so that was for when she turned herself in when
did,
I was 12.
Okay, so she finally did it.
So she came in. Sorry, whoa, I never finished that. Okay, so she came back, turned herself in, went to jail for selling. And
for what, 5 years?
So it wind up being, no, because I if it happened, let's say I was 13. So about five, I think it was like 6 years.
Okay.
So I think she got 6 years for that.
Damn.
I think it was supposed to be
prison.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Prison.
And do you go visit her while she's in there? You do?
It was horrible.
What? Yeah. What's that like?
Sorry. It was horrible because I used to have to take a bus for like an hour and a half. They'd pick me up at this.
This is what you had to do to see your mom.
Yeah. It was like, I think it was once a month, I think, that I remember, but I know we'd have to go and wait in this parking lot. A bus would come. I'd ride like an hour and a half to see her, an hour and 15 minutes or whatever it was. And spend time with her. The only thing that is funny, because I had a picture and I don't have it anymore, but I remember one year I got to see her for Christmas, and it was literally a bunch of women, and like there's one woman dressed as Santa Claus, and like you see little Jason Mewes like sitting in between like this a bunch of women and
women prisoners.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was
I wish you could find that picture, dude. That's classic.
It's such a
it's so sad.
It would be awesome. I know. I wish I had it, because I would love to post that, right?
Guys, we got the dates for 2023 locked, maybe a couple more added. La Jolla, I'll be back October 20th through the 22nd. Salt Lake City, finally coming back October 27th and the 28th. Hoping to see y'all out there. Batavia, Illinois, my first time going there. Very excited, coming on November 10th and November 11th. And San Francisco to close out the year at Cobbs. Cannot wait to get back to one of my favorite cities in the country. December 8th and 9th. All tickets are available on my website at ryansickler.com.
But the bummer is at, so in 2001, when my mom got sick, and I lived with her from...
you said she died of AIDS?
Yeah.
From needles and stuff?
Yeah, sharing, yeah. And she got sick quick. She got out of jail. Again, it's all blur right now because I don't talk about it that much, honestly. But when she got out, I went and moved with her. She was getting sick. And then like 4 years, me and my sister lived with her while she was getting sicker and sicker. And the bummer is then when she passed, I winded up going to California here, because we were supposed to do the J.M. Bob press junket. And I was a mess. Kevin said when he pulled up to the house to pick me up to go to the airport. So on J.M. Bob, if you notice, I'm like a little fluffier in the face, and because I was drinking. Because when I first got sober around that 99, I got sober for the movie, to shoot the movie J.M. Bob. I was like, oh, I can drink, you know, as long as I'm not using drugs, I can drink and smoke weed and stuff. But eventually I wind up using, but I got fluffier because I was doing just so much drinking. It was all booze weight, all water weight. I weighed like 200 pounds. And then when my mom, So Kevin dropped me off my house, and whatever it was, like 2 months later. So my mom passes away like a month later. Then I go on this bender for like a month or 2 months, and I lose in like 2 months, like 40 pounds from smoking crack, doing oxys, like heroin, all this stuff. So Kevin picks me up to go to the press junket, and I come outside, and he's like, yo, can you tell Jason I'm here to pick him up? He didn't even recognize me.
He wasn't even joking.
No, because he said I was so bad looking. He thought I was just a friend that was like a cracky friend, like coming out to say Jason will be coming out in a minute. That's how bad I looked, he said. Like, he didn't even recognize me till I got up to the car door, and I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Then he realized, and he started crying. Oh. He just started crying. So then we go to California, and I try to do the press junket, but I'm a mess because I'm like sick at first. Then I wind up getting drugs, and he's like, you got to go to rehab. So I tell this story because then I go to rehab for 6 months or 3 months at this point, and I'm sending Kevin's sending my sister money to pay for the storage. She moves out and puts all my stuff in storage. My sister's a crackhead. It's a dope fiend as well. She's using with her boyfriend, and she spends all the money, doesn't pay for my storage. So like I said, so everything I had, all my pictures, everything I owned, like all these pictures growing up, things I got from my mom, is a bummer. Like got put in storage, got sold off, like on, you know, Storage Wars.
Yeah, somebody out there's got your right? shit. I know, yeah. Right? they got your old shit. They got that picture of you in prison with the lady.
They might.
So let's rewind a little bit. When and why do you start using? After watching your mom go through all this, you said you were pretty, you know, militant about not using it. Yeah. When do you flip and what happened?
It's so weird. Yeah, because it's true. I remember even probably 14 years old, 15 years old. One of my buddies, like a kid from school, is like, yo, man, I got some cocaine. Let's do it. I was like, no way, man. I'm never doing that shit. So, yes, I was super against it. I wouldn't even smoke. Cigarettes, my sister used to smoke. I was like, I hate cigarettes. I hate drugs.
Do you know if your father was an addict as well?
I don't. I know he was a biker. Well, again, if my mom's telling the truth, he was a biker.
That could have just had an affair and wasn't necessarily using.
Yeah, it stinks because, it was like I was at the age where I was curious, but never was curious enough to be like, hey, no, I like want to know details. Like, what's his last name? Where is he from? Like, what? I didn't even know what state he was from or whatever. Someone at one point, they were like, oh, I think he lives in Florida. And the bummer is even like no one of my mom's friend. We live in this small town. And my grandma didn't know. My aunt, they never saw him. They said, my grandma said she thinks she saw him once and she wasn't even sure if it was him. When I was born and came home from the hospital, some man came out of the house. And then my mom said, oh, that's Jay's dad. But she said she wasn't sure if my mom was just, you know, saying whatever. So I didn't like drugs. So 21, so I meet this girl. It's a weird story, sort of. But I meet this girl this kid I started hanging out with. Was 17, putting roofs on house. I'm a roofer. And I'm hanging out with this kid. He roofs with me. Excuse me. And he meets this girl. They start dating and we would go hang out. But you know, like when you're younger, you start hanging out with a kid and like, it's almost like when you first start dating a girl, like your friend's like, why aren't you hanging out? You know, like staying all the time with the girl. This kid, I hung out with him every day. I mean, I had other friends, but me and him did everything together. We worked together. After work, we'd go to do this, do that. So he started hanging out with this girl. So I would always tag along with them. And then they're like, hey, we're going to the arcade in Long Branch. We're going to go see my friend. So we go to the thing. We're playing video games. It's awesome. And his girlfriend brings out this girl. And I'm not kidding. She was like a 10. I'm like blown away how beautiful I feel this girl is to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And we hang out, the four of us, and for like a half hour at the arcade. She's on lunch break. She worked there. And I'm like, this girl's amazing. Like, I'm like, got a big crush on her. So then my buddy's like, hey, a couple weeks later, we're going to go hang out and go to this. I hang out with him again. And, you know, I'm trying to feel it out. I'm like, maybe I can hook up with her. Point is, I never thought I had a shot with her. A couple months later, her and I start fooling around. Then I find out, maybe it wasn't months, but I find out they're using drugs. I'm 21, 21st birthday. And so, sorry, I found out before they were using drugs. I stopped hanging out with them for about a month. I'm like, I don't want to be around that. You're using heroin and all. They're like, we only snorted it though. You know, it's only a weekend thing. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to be around that. And I was like, you know why, to my buddy. And he's like, I know. And so I didn't talk to them. But I realized like I sort of isolated myself from all my other buddies. My other buddy had a girlfriend. I didn't hang out with him much. My other this. So I'm like getting bored and I see the dude at work all the time anyway. So he's like, come on, just come out with us. I wind up hanging out with him again. Then I hook up with the girl. And then if they're using only on the weekends, they're telling me. So we start hanging out, all the four of us all the time, doing stuff, going to movies, doing this. Every once in a while, I see them like nodding and doing stuff, but I wasn't sure yet. Mm-hmm. Cut to 21st birthday. I'm like, yo, man, I'm 21. Let's go to a bar. We're going to go do this. I can finally go into this place and we can have fun. And they're like, man, we're really not, you know, we all working all day. We're going to go to her house, my buddy's girlfriend's house, to go watch a movie. Just come watch a movie, you know, the four of us. I was like, all right, we'll get a couple beers. So I get like, we get like a 12 pack. We go there. And then all of a sudden they're like, they go in the bathroom, they disappear and they come out and they're all like, And I'm like, dude, this isn't fun. I'm drinking like three beers. I start getting a little buzz. I'm like, you guys, like, I thought we were going to do something, have fun. Long story short. So then the girl, they're like, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like. I'm like, I don't understand. I see you guys nodding out, dropping cigarettes on the ground, burning the rug and stuff. And like, you don't know how it feels. You don't get it. And more of just like, I'm going to prove it. Like, you're full of crap. I don't give a crap. I was like, give me some. I was like, I'm going to do a little bit. And then after I hate it, I'm going to tell you that you're fools because that doesn't look fun to me. And then I did it.
That's how it started.
Yeah. Oh, because a girl.
But it's that powerful,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And then so I did it. Me and that girl laid together, dude. And again, I'm not glorifying it. It's horrible. But I'm saying for that one moment, like I did, I felt like I didn't care about anything. Me and this girl, we were like in our own little bubble, laying there watching a movie, cuddling.
What
and
movie? It gave me Do you remember fun. The movie?
I don't know. I was so focused on her and hey, I got I'll sick. Bet. Even though I got sick, I still love that. Like, because I felt great, but then it's this weird throw up where it's not like when you're buzzing, you're like, I'm going to throw up. It's like, you're like, all of a sudden you're like, hold on, you know? And then you're like, all right, I'm good now. Anyway. But yeah, it was great. And then I understand. I get where you're coming from, guys. But I was like, you know, I don't want to do it again. But then of course, a couple weekends later, they're going out. I do it again. And then next weekend, I do it again. It's only the weekends for months. So I didn't I didn't physically get hooked on it. But no time at all. It became 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to, you know, every day. All right, but I'm
it's
never
just heroin.
It's I just say heroin.
Just, but
yeah, I don't remember at that point of maybe I tried a little coke with it or what have you. But I remember at one point I was like, all right, but I'm never going to use needles. I'm only going to snort it. Never, ever. And it was probably a couple of years before I did the needle. But
that scared the shit out of
you. It is. But and I still didn't think I'd do it. But I remember when you're sick, you're so desperate. You really are. Like the physical feeling and mental, like it is like the worst. I'm sure. But anyway, so I just remember we only had enough money. Me and this, so now it's years later, I'm with a different girl. And me and this girl had like literally 20 bucks. We had enough for each to have our own bag because it's $10 for a bit. But I needed two just to feel normal. It wasn't even going to get high. I just walk around normal. And I'm like, I'm not going to be normal. Like, we're going to do this. It's going to be a waste. And my buddy's like, yeah, but remember, if you shoot it, it doesn't go through your body. It goes straight to the vein and you need a lot less than what you do if you snort it. And I'm like, no way, I can't do it. And I'm like, listen. And then, of course, the girl that neighbor came over and I didn't know this, but she's like, I'm a nurse. She started using, I'm a nurse. I have a brand new bag. Never opened
clean needles.
With clean needles so that it's in a sealed bag and then the needles are in the little cupboard too and everything's covered three times over. They're definitely safe and clean. I was like, all right. But I was like, I can't do it myself. And she's like, well, I'm a nurse. I can do it. And then she did it. And then you don't want to ever go back the other way. You know, it's like a whole nother feeling, whole nother thing. And that was it, man. I just went like, I went on a tear. Yeah. Then I just got worse and worse. And I was remember hiding it, trying to hide it from Kevin and everybody, you know, yeah, man,
I see a story or something about did he see track marks on you or something like that? Or something happened where he got really upset?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He or you stole from him.
I stole from
That's
him. Yeah. Yeah. I stole.
How'd you do that?
So I stole money. He had his wallet on the counter and he had a couple 20s. And I remember taking 20 bucks from him.
Did he catch you?
No, he didn't catch me in the moment, but he just knew. He knew I had taken it. Like, he knew how much he had. I was sitting by his wallet. Later on, he didn't have that much money. Because he didn't have, like, hundreds. He had, like, three 20s, and I took one. So then all of a sudden, he's like, I know I had $60. Now I have 40. And he's like, because I told him, because I feel like what happened, I feel like he might have known before that, before I stole from him. See, I don't know because I know his big thing is I told him, I said, I was talking about how like I would never steal. I'm like, as long as I never steal and never do anything, you know, shady, then I'm not that bad of a drug addict. You know what I mean? But I'm trying to remember when he first, realized. I mean, there's been a few situations with Kevin where when I relapsed, he found out one time because he picked me up. We went to go to Vegas to go. He had a meeting and he left me and I was like, oh, I don't want to go out to dinner, but I had been clean for a little bit. And can I stand? If I stand up, it'll mess up the thing, huh? So I'm like, I don't want to go to dinner and stuff, but I stayed in and used, and I got so messed up. He said when he came in, and I don't remember this, but he said when he came in that I was standing up in the middle of the hotel room, living room, going like this.
Sleeping, standing up. I see this all the time. Yeah, it's crazy how you stay up.
Yeah, but then he said all of a sudden I got up too, and I was like...
Shadow box.
Yeah. And he said, he was like, Jay, what are you doing? And he said he threw a pillow at me and it startled me. But he's like, he knew right then. He's like, you're using again. Like, so that was after I relapsed. But yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, the good thing is like he's been, you know, again, I really do feel like I owe a big part of me getting sober and staying on the right track was because of him, because it's like he was always there, like, to, you know, the first time we went was he threw me in rehab. I don't remember where it was, but and it might have been. It's so weird. I can't remember right now when the first time he realized I was using, but it was
definitely before that time you walked out of the house and he said, hey, can you tell Jason I'm here to get him?
Yeah. Because again, that I had gotten sober. It was because the dogma, because it wasn't dogma, it was Chasing Amy. Yeah, because I started Mallrats, I wasn't using. It was after Mallrats. Mallrats is 95.
So, quick, I wanted to ask you this. Did your mom ever get to see one of your movies?
Did my mom get to see one of my movies?
Yeah. She would have
saw Mallrats. So she got to see Mallrats. She got to see Clerks. And I feel like Chasing Amy as well. But yeah, she knew what I was doing and stuff. She was proud of me. She was excited. And she was really excited about, you know, one of the sweetest things someone did one time is when I didn't live out there, I still lived in New Jersey out here. I mean, I lived in New Jersey. When I'd come out to do things, I wind up meeting Pauly Shore. My mom's a huge fan of Pauly.
Yeah.
And I tell him, and he winds up calling her and saying hello to her, and it made her day. And then even after that, when I was like, hey man, thanks, that was so nice and sweet, I get back home, he winds up calling me and he goes, give me your address. And he winds up sending my mom a bunch of stuff, like signed stuff, DVDs.
Yeah, he's a good dude. We've had him on the show, he's great.
Oh, it was so sweet. Like it was, again, because at this point she's like really sick and like anything, you know, it really made her day. It was such a like sweet thing for him to take time and do that. Like, you know, he didn't have to. So she got to see some movies and stuff. And
At your lowest, describe a day. What is a day like for you? Where are you living? What are you doing for hustle, money? Like what is at your lowest? What is it like?
So I feel like one of my lowest points when I went to get sober the first time. So it's a weird thing. I had 4 years sober and almost five. Cause again, I've had months sober here and there over the years from when I started, but I'll tell the story. So I'm using, I get better. And then I start using it and relapsing and I wind up meeting this girl and we start using real bad and we're living. She has an apartment at this point. She has an apartment. She's doing okay. She has a job and stuff. And I move out to Huntington Beach. And I'm living with her in her apartment, but we start using a bunch. And she's using more and more because she had used when I met her. She even had the dealer, but she didn't have the money and didn't really have the drive to do it every day. She was doing it a lot, like every weekend almost. But her thing was speed too. She really liked speed more than anything. So then I started doing speed, which was crazy. But anyway.
So you're going from down to up.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. So now I'm doing like speed and then we do dope to come down and then all this stuff. But we're living there. Months go by. We're getting worse and worse. I'm out of money. She's out of money. And our lights get, a power gets shut off at the apartment. We're getting evicted, all that stuff. And it's Christmas time. So we, you know, we're there in the dark at nighttime. We get up, this is so sad. There. We get up enough money to get a little bit of drugs. We go down to our dealer. And I remember we're going to like, all right, we're going to have enough dope drugs to get, feel better and maybe get a little bit high, maybe, but we're going to feel good for Christmas. But all of a sudden I remember the dealer was like, you know what? It's Christmas. And he winds up giving us like double what we paid for. He gives us double it. And he's like, Merry Christmas. And I remember we're like, oh my God, this is the best Christmas present ever. We were so excited, which is so sad. Mm-hmm. And we get home, we're in the apartment, we're using it, we're shooting up and stuff. And we have no lights. We have candles on the edge of the couch and the bathroom's upstairs. And I'm just too lazy to grab one of the candles and try to hold it up the stairs and put it somewhere. So like we would hang out and like nod out and stuff on the couch. And then I would go in the kitchen and pee in a bucket.
No,
I swear. So I'm peeing in the bucket. Also, like this point, we're like just a mess. So we like use a syringe and throw it on the ground. So like the living room has like syringes on the ground. There's a bucket of pee, two candles burning, me and her. And all of a sudden we're like, wake up. She winds up waking me. She goes, get up, get up. And I look and I can feel the heat on my face and the couch is on fire.
Holy shit.
The candle had burnt down to the bottom and set the couch on fire. And I'm like, why are we having
it? I mean, is it just because we're on drugs that we're putting candles on the edge of the couch fucking place?
Yeah, okay, not,
yeah, that's what you said.
And, like, there's no like nice, like we didn't even smart enough to put it on like a plate or something.
You know what I mean? Just straight down.
We got to be able to see what we're doing and stuff. And I'm like panicking. I'm like, I got to put it out. So I run over and grab the bucket of piss and throw a bucket of piss.
Oh, nah, dude. You put a fire out with a bucket of piss.
It's so nasty. And I just remember like, after we like go outside because it's smoking, we're like, the firemen are going to come, the cops probably. We're like panicking. We're going to get arrested.
And we're in an apartment complex?
Yeah, we're in an apartment complex, Huntington Beach. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So we wind up just getting a bunch of our stuff and we wind up getting out. And our buddy says we can stay at his house. So my other buddy winds up coming up. I had this other friend who, he was a real good butt, but he was trying to get back home to where he lived. He was in California to try to see his daughter and get his self, you know, he wasn't a drug addict, but he just was like living in a different state. He went to Cali, got a job, was trying to get an apartment and get his life together. So girlfriend would let him see his daughter. He was a mess too, though. He kept losing jobs and stuff, but he had a car. He was better off than me. He had a little money saved. And then he goes, look, man, I'm going to go back home. He's like, if you want, you can drive with me. And then I had a warrant out for my arrest at one point in 99, I got pulled over driving home from Newark, New Jersey to go home with heroin. We get pulled over because we get into an accident and we still go get drugs, come back home. And right before, like literally 5 blocks from our house, the airbag went off.
No.
But we pushed the airbag back in. So Kevin winds up writing that in Clerks too. There's a part where the guys come up and they're like, yo, man, where you been? And we're like, yo, we just did 6 months in rehab. We got pulled over for a deployed airbag. Like Kevin winds up writing in his own. Because Jay in Clerks 2 is sober, Jay and Bob are and stuff. But anyway, so we get pulled over for real because the front car is like halfway falling off. The bag like blew up, but like we pushed it back in so it was hanging out. And we're driving in, we get pulled over. And I'm like, oh my God, I should eat my drugs. I'm like, they're not going to search us. But they wind up searching us. We get arrested and I get arrested for possession. And they've released me, ROR. And then I go to jail. I go to court, get probation, but then I wind up moving to California. And so I have a warrant out for for probation and skipping the state, leaving state and stuff. So at this point I wind up going to California and I get off. I'm even worse shape and that fire happens. And my buddy's like, look, I have to go back home. And he lives in Rhode Island. And he's like, I will drive to Rhode Island. And then from there, we'll see if we can get home so you could turn yourself in. Because at that point, I feel like my bottom, like you said, that I'm like, I need to turn myself in because either they're going to put me in rehab or they're going to put me in jail, which I didn't want. But I was like,
what are you facing? What are the charges you're facing?
A year in jail. Yeah.
For possession of heroin.
Yes. But then for possession, but more for, I guess that this.
Was it a hit and run as well?
No, because we actually stopped and talked, but so I had 4 years, 4 years for the drugs, but then they gave me a 4 years probation, but they were going to give me a year in jail for messing up my probation, I believe.
Oh, for something like that.
Yeah. So I knew that it was going to be about a year if I go to jail, or I'm hoping I'll get put in rehab. And so we wind up, my buddy winds up letting me jump in the car and we drive to to Rhode Island. And things just got worse. So we stopped in Tennessee. We meet some girls. We stay with them. I start shooting speed with this whole crew. And I'm like hanging out at this speed house, which was so crazy, man. It was such a weird thing. Like windows are blacked out with spray paint and people are DJing in separate rooms because they're staying up all night doing speed. And people are cleaning in the kitchen. Cleaning. It was really weird. It was really weird. It was
the opposite of the heroin.
Yeah. But anyway, so I wind up turning myself in and I get 6 months in rehab. Luckily, I do 6 months. And then I got out. Kevin stuck around the whole time. He'd come visit me. He gave me at one point after 3 months, if you're doing good, you can get a job. And he had the View Askew, which was our comic book store. And then, you know, we had our Jam Bob merch and stuff. And so I had a job at our store shipping stuff, which really wasn't, I'd just go hang, but I didn't help out and stuff. But it gave me something to do. And I got through the 6 months and then I had almost 4 years at that point. But I got kidney stones. I stopped going to meetings. Right. So after about 3 years, I stopped going to meetings. I'm good. I feel good. I mean, I was working out and I was all feeling good and stuff. And I'm like, I don't need meetings really. But then I get kidney stones and I have to, they're like, look, you're not going to pass the stone unless we give you a shot of Demerol and some painkillers because otherwise you're tense and it won't pass. And I'm like, I can't use painkillers. I'm an addict and stuff. And they're like, look, if you want it to pass, you got to get this shot. And I was like, all right, I'll be fine. Shot of Demerol, man. I got that feeling again. Like I got when I was 21 with that girl, I was like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, all right, I'm fine now. You know, I just got to take my prescription as prescribed, which lasted about 4 days. And then all of a sudden I'm counting by day four. I'm like, take one every 3 to 6 hours. Right. So I'm like, it's almost three hours. You know, by week two, I'm like, oh, it's 2.5 hours. It's only 30 minutes shy. I'm not really relapsing. And then I took my whole bottle. And then I had a buddy who was like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good, but I'm out of pain medicine. And my doctor won't give me more. And he's like, oh, I have a buddy who has, you know, some extra forget the name of them. It's been that long, which is great. It's not Vicodin. It's another one. But
Percocets?
Not the Percocets. There's
Oxycontins?
No. Not that good.
Because Vicodin?
Vicodin is 750.
Yeah, that's
so many, yeah. So there was another one in between, and I don't know how I'm blanking on it. And it don't matter, but it was, I think it was like 10 milligrams of the codeine that's in it or whatever, and only like 500 or 350 of the Tylenol. So it just, anyway.
I think I have that. Acetaminophen. I've got that one. It's hydrocodone with Tylenol in it.
Yes.
I got that.
But this is supposed to be better than Vicodin. Yeah, yes, yeah. Because if you take like 5 Vicodin, you're taking a whole lot of acetaminophen.
Okay.
But these other ones, they're the same really, but they're just a different name and I can't believe I'm blanking on them. But anyway, so he winds up giving me some of them. Then he winds up giving me some, and I think it's prescription. But he's like, well, you know, he actually sells them. He can get more. So I wind up getting more. And next thing you know, it's a year later. But a year later, I'm no lie, just to feel normal. Because in my head, I'm like, as long as I don't do heroin, I didn't really relapse, and I'm not that bad, right? As I was before, because I had almost 4 years, is I was taking like 20 of these just to get –
this is what I hear from everybody that does this show. It's like, your body really builds a tolerance. Because I feel like 20 Advil for me, I would throw up.
Yeah.
But over time, 20, some people are telling me 30. I'm like, a day?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, one every hour almost.
Yeah. Well, I would do 20 at once in the morning.
No.
I swear. By the end, 20? I would say, not well, I would over take the course five. Of- no, I would take five, drink, five, no. drink. I swear. Just
I thought
feel
you
normal.
Meant over the course of the day.
Oh, no, no. I was taking like, on a good day, if I had the money, enough money, and the guy had enough, I was taking probably about 50.
50 a day?
Yeah, I swear, yeah.
Is that eating through at your stomach end, alone?
Yeah, yeah, sometimes I would taste it through my liver. Like, it was weird. It was crazy. But yeah, it was
Holy
a mess.
Shit, dude.
It was bad. It was really bad. And so that was that time. And then it got really bad. And then I winded up going into, then I detoxed again. And then I winded up. And now, sorry, I forget that little period. I forget how long it was. So I think it was a couple of weeks, got out, started doing the podcast, Jan Bob Get Old. And after I had 3 months sober, mm-hmm. and then we started counting, you know, podcast, Kevin, I was like, Kevin started letting me hang around. He was really disappointed with me at this point. He's like, I'm not gonna start hanging out and doing things till like, I could see that you're gonna like, why do you think you relapse? And I explained to him, I felt like because I stopped going to meetings, I stopped being accountable to people. I stopped talking to people and sharing what like, you know, but when I got the painkillers, if I was like, man, I'm really liking this and I don't know what to do. I'm like scared, but I didn't. I just started dating the wife I have now. We had been together at that point, probably about a year and a half, 2 years. That's timing's all messed up for me. But anyway, but I, you know, like I said, if we got a new apartment, me and her were out in Playa del Rey. So all my friends were in there, Hollywood. So I didn't really, no one wanted to come visit every once in a while. So my point is, it was me and her every day just hanging out. She would go do her thing, come home, me and her. So I didn't really, and I told him that. I was like, I feel like I should have shared. I should have talked to her about it even, but I was scared to tell her. And I didn't share with anyone like, hey, I finished my prescription. I'm loving the way I feel. I want more or anything. So he's like, well, if we do a podcast, I want you to share. Like, I want you to be accountable. He's like, if you share, tell everyone how you're feeling every day, tell some stories, tell this, then, you know, you can be accountable.
Therapy, yeah.
Yeah. And it was great because, you know, it got to a point where I was like, hey, I have a year sober and we'd have, you know, 800 people at a live show. And they'd be like, yeah. And all I would literally like, we'd be like, we have a show and tomorrow too. And I'd go to sleep that night, like have a dream that I relapsed and I'd have to get on stage and be like, sorry, everyone, I have one day sober, you know? And it frightened me though. Yeah, it helped. Yeah. It like helped sharing with everybody, everything. And then being accountable, like after time, if people start listening to podcasts online and stuff, I'd be in Starbucks and so on, be like, yo, I love the podcast. How many days sober you have, you know?
That's great.
And right now, speaking of that, so today is September. So wait, it's July, August, September to September right now? Yeah, so September 2nd was 13 years and 2 months.
Damn,
so,
dude, congrats.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you. So yeah, it's been, you know, we stopped the podcast a while ago, but it was a big help, it really was. Again, the podcasting, you know, podcast is awesome. And we do it. So you were saying, I wanted to ask you something. Sorry. You were saying earlier, you do the show too. Do you do just standalone stand-up when you do your live shows? Or do you do like a...
No, I do stand-up when I do my live shows. Yeah. Okay. If you come see me on tour, it's stand-up. But
yeah.
I started asking people because something happened to me at the beginning of the year where I went for surgery and then they let me lay so long I clotted and almost died. And they were like, look, you should make calls. It's touch and go for you. And I I started asking people. If anybody in the audience, my first stop, Fort Wayne, Indiana, has anybody in here ever been given that, you know, notification? And right away, some lady's like, I actually died. And I was like, you died and came back? And it's like, yep. And then boom, every city I've been to, every city. I was just in Tulsa. There were three people that died in Tulsa. Two of them in Springfield. There were two in Tampa. There was one here in Burbank. Like, it's wild to know how many people have been officially declared dead, called, and then been brought back. And they at least one person in every weekend so far. So it's turned into a bit of a 5 minute talking to the crowd they got it, but it's just stand up.
That's crazy. Every city.
Dude,
huh?
Listen, every city. And I want to say, like, what a hell of a story you have. I've been a fan for a long time, bro. This is your college for me and everything else. And I want to thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you.
And sharing your story. I'm proud of you. 13 years, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a new dad. You got a baby, bro. Good luck to your knees. Good luck to those knees and your back.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to ask you, I always ask everyone's first time here, especially after what we've talked about. advice you would give to 16-year-old Jason?
Because I always think at first I would say don't do drugs. But again, I feel like there is so much, it's part of what, at this point, so many things have happened and stuff. But honestly, I would say, and it might be not a great answer, but smoking. Smoking for me was so hard to stop, even more than drugs or anything.
Really?
Smoking cigarettes
was harder than heroin? Because that's what you always hear. Like, it's harder than heroin.
No, it really. True. And I don't want to say harder in the sense because, believe me, I wouldn't say I would feel the same way of how I would feel if I was sick. But I'm saying if I quit heroin and quit cigarettes, the cigarettes was so hard because you can do it in public. You can do it so accessible.
And it's legal.
The habit of it all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and again, it might be a cop out, but I feel like I struggle with it because it's caused fights with my wife and all that. Again, I haven't been smoking now for months, but it took so long. Even after when I had my daughter, I was like, I have a kid now. I'm not going to smoke. And, you know, I didn't smoke for like a day and a half, and then I snuck a cigarette, and you know, it just took so much. And again, I don't know. I feel like it's aged me a little bit more than it would if normally. My teeth, like, you know, it's probably one of my biggest things. I'm sure there's another answer if I had more time to think of. Someone sat me down and said, let's think about this. But I do feel like it's a big thing that really sticks to me is the smoking and over time, how hard it is. It's for me, how hard it was. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on. Again, one more time, promote the cruise, everything, please.
Cruise is at 2024, February 23rd to the 26th. We're going from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas. It's the Jay and Silent Bob cruise askew. We're going to have a bunch of people on there doing podcasts, live music, some tournaments for poker and some other things. Jason Lee will be there, Ethan Suplee, me, Kevin Smith, AJ Wilkerson for stand-up comedy, a bunch of stand-up comedians, a bunch of activities to do. Come check that out, twitch.tv/JMuse. I stream every day. Sometimes it's only an hour because I got the kids. Sometimes it's 3 hours. I unbox things. I play video games and stuff like that. But I also do my stand-up JMuse and His Amusing Stories. I don't have any dates set right now, but check it out, JMuse and His Amusing Stories. And I have my own website too, JMuse, and all my socials, JMuse, J-A-Y, not Jason, J-A-Y-M-E-W-E-S is my Instagram and Twitter and website and all that good stuff. So check it out.
Well, thank you, brother. And as always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour. Get your tickets at RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.